We are back on the Andy Finn Show. And on this date, in 1692, the last person was hanged for witchcraft in the United States. Now, we say United States, of course, we mean what was the original 13 colonies. I assume that was up in, I don't know, Maine or Vermont or someplace like that. But 1692 was the end of hanging for witchcraft. That's good to know. We still hang people, we just don't allow it for witchcraft. Well, I'm not sure why. It seems to me witchcraft might be pretty serious business if people were really practicing it. Now, I guess it's a freedom of religion thing now. In any case, I mentioned Operation Offset. Yeah, Congress is, in fact, going to look. Republicans are going to try and support Bush in this notion that we aren't going to raise taxes. In fact, he still wants to make his tax cuts permanent. Right, and let me refresh people's memory and remind them what this means. So when Bush got his first $1.9 trillion in tax cuts, that's the first two or three tax cuts he got through in 2001, 2002, 2003, the only way he could get Congress to agree to them, the only way they could get a majority to vote for them, was to say that they were going to expire in 10 years. And the reason is that the government does 10-year projections, so that would be fine. But if they don't expire in 10 years, the deficit starts ballooning in the out years, farther out. And so they said, okay, we're going to have these expire in 10 years. So the cuts in the marginal rates expire in 10 years, but the estate tax also, you know, it goes down to zero here in a few years. By 2009, 2010, it's down to zero. And then in 2011, the complete estate tax comes back. Now, the Republicans assumed all along that, well, we'll get this change. You know, we get this through now by fooling people and claiming that we're going to let it expire, and then we immediately start working for it to be permanent. And that's what they've been doing. Now, Katrina and now Rita and the war in Iraq and the mismanagement of the tax cuts and things like that are meaning that the deficit is extremely high. So it may be that they're not going to be able to do what they want on tax cuts. But for now, the Republicans are working on what they call Operation Offset. And offset is a corresponding cut somewhere in the budget that will take care of these increasing spending they're going to need to do through a supplemental. The first supplemental was $10 billion. The second supplemental was $60 billion, I believe, for Katrina. So far we're in for $70 billion, and we're going to need a lot more. And of course, the Iraq War is totally funded through supplementals. You know, it does not show up in our deficits because the first year it almost made sense, although Bush knew he was going to war, but he said, well, we don't know what this is going to cost. Maybe fair enough the first year. But they're still funding the Iraq War totally through supplemental appropriations, meaning when he submits the budget each year, it doesn't include anything for the expenses in Iraq. Now, keep in mind, we are spending $1 billion. Is it a week in Iraq? Yes. I think we're spending $1 billion a week in Iraq, $4 to $5 billion a month. And so that's a lot of change. And none of it's on budget, per se. All of it's in the supplementals, as though, oh, it's an emergency. We didn't know we were going to spend any money in Iraq this year. Well, he could have claimed that with a straight face the first year, even though I knew it wasn't true, meaning I knew he was planning to go into Iraq. Of course, he's not going to ask for funding for that war before it starts. But from then on, why is this a supplemental? Now, Katrina and whatever damage Rita does this weekend have to be supplementals. I understand that. But anyway, to offset these supplementals, like $200 billion for Katrina, the Republicans are starting Operation Offset, and they're looking for things that can be cut. Well, good luck, boys and girls, although there aren't that many girls on the Republican side, because there aren't many budget items that people in Congress aren't going to fuss about. Everybody's got their favorite ox, and some of them are going to get gored if you start changing these. So we'll see about that. The other piece I guess I want to talk about is something that I spoke about in some detail on my blog in the last couple of weeks. And that is that you know, this whole thing about blame, I don't blame the locals, the local, state, or federal government about Katrina on some level. That is, this disaster, could they have done certain things better? Absolutely, at all levels. But this disaster is so monumental that no matter who was in office and how well tuned up FEMA and Homeland Security was, we were going to have an unmitigated disaster on our hands. So in that regard, I think it's unfair to say, oh, they should have handled this. You know, people shouldn't have been stranded. People shouldn't have been whatever. You were never going to get everybody to evacuate, even if you'd started earlier. That's just human nature, because people underestimate these things. And we'd had some false warnings before, meaning hurricanes that we were cautious about, but didn't hit the shore with the force that people thought they would. And people said, you know, I'm not leaving this time, or whatever they said. And in the case of the poor neighborhoods, they had no way to get out, or they didn't hear about it, or whatever. But I do think there's an area worth talking about, and that is the issue of people's priorities. Okay, now, folding FEMA into Homeland Security makes sense at one level. That is, FEMA used to be a cabinet-level organization, and now FEMA is subsumed under the cabinet-level Department of Homeland Security and kind of playing second fiddle. So that head of FEMA's no longer got the stature that he did before. Now, that'd be okay if they still allowed FEMA to do what it did with its budget money. But all the proposals that went to Homeland Security from any department, FEMA or elsewhere, the only ones that got funded in recent years were ones that were had to do with terrorism, preparing for terrorism strikes. So that doesn't make a lot of sense in the heartland and in areas of the country where they're not likely to get a terrorist strike. We know that natural disasters hit the Gulf Coast. We know that hurricanes hit the Southeast. We know that tornadoes hit the Midwest. We know that earthquakes hit on fault lines. We know these things are going to happen. We don't know for sure there'll be another terrorist strike. So when the Department of Homeland Security stops funding drills and emergency preparedness for floods and hurricanes and that kind of relief, natural disasters, that is a misplaced priority. But that's coming down from the top. Okay? I understand that after 9/11, our politicians are tuned to the all terror, all the time channel. But there's an unnatural fear in some circles, and I lay this mostly at the feet of the Bush administration. They have overreacted to terrorism in the same way that we might overreact to natural disasters now. I mean, I've said all along that I think Bush is too fearful. That, you know, if he really believed what he said to the country, and nobody's calling him a liar, except a few people on Air America, if he really believed that Saddam Hussein was a threat to the security of America's homeland, so much a threat to our homeland that we had to go after him at whatever cost, then that's a man who's a little too scared to be president. But that has kind of infected the whole government. And so I realize that it would be bad if we had another strike and it looked like the government hadn't done enough. But what we've done is we've erred on the side of terrorist disasters and ignored, to some extent, natural disasters. Now, I think we'll get it back in balance now, but it took something like Katrina to do it. People don't have the vision to do it. Meanwhile, Bush and Cheney and Rove like the idea of being able to use 9/11 and the terrorist strike. They used it to go into Iraq. They used it to win elections. And so it has served their purposes, but at what cost? And so I think we'll get some balance now that we would not have got from our so-called leaders, because they're going to milk 9/11 as long as they can. It helps Republicans win elections to have the people scared about what might happen in any area from crime to national defense, because that's what Republicans are supposedly good at. But I want to give you another example of misplaced priorities. You know, when George Bush was running for office, now here's a guy, as he's running for the president, who knows less about the world and about geopolitics than I do. And so you do have to wonder about that. But here's a guy that comes along saying how important SDI is. We have to have the Strategic Defense Initiative, that is Star Wars. We've got to build a missile defense so that a rogue nation won't lob a missile this way. Well, I got news for you. The country they're worrying about mostly, North Korea, isn't going to lob a missile our way. It would have a return address on it, and we would annihilate them, or we could annihilate them. But this was the excuse to spend $7 billion a year on missile defense. Now, 9/11 happens, and suddenly, it doesn't look like missile defense is such a top priority. Now, admittedly, it's only $7 billion a year out of a budget of, what, $340 billion at the time for defense. But that's a chunk of change. $7 billion a year, you can do a lot with. Tell you this, with 3 years of it, you could repair the New Orleans levees and probably have some left over. And I'm going to pick up this thread after the break because I have a little bit more to say about this particular example of misplaced priorities.